corporations have already thrown their weight around so much. How is this different, or how does this add to their power against the everyday people?
Well, let's go back to the year 2000. In the year 2000, there was a concerted conspiracy to take over control of state Supreme Courts by the United States Chamber of Commerce. And Ohio was the primary target in this particular conspiracy. The Chamber of Commerce spent a total of $7 million of corporate treasury money buying a saturation commercial attack ads against Justice Alice Roby Resnick running for re-election to the Ohio Supreme Court. Now, this is an example of the difference between political action committee money, which is accounted for because every political action committee registers with the Secretary of State, identifies all its contributors, who are all individuals, and identifies all its expenditures. In the case of this illegal corporate treasury operation by the Chamber of Commerce, it was all secret. They didn't register as a PAC. They claimed to be doing nonprofit corporation doing issue advertising. And when you asked them, well, what's the issue? They say, well, we don't have to identify the issue, but as long as we don't say vote for or against a candidate, we can say anything we want.
You don't buy the magic word argument?
No. These were, and this was litigated. We litigated this for 5 years, and we went through state and federal court multiple times, two times, and we got decisions from the Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals in Cincinnati and a decision from the 10th Appellate District Court in the state system here in Columbus. We also had a decision from the Ohio Supreme Court declining to get involved. This there was no question this was a corporate attempt out of corporate treasury money to dominate the Ohio election. They were doing the same.
Resist it. If it is evil, like the Dred Scott decision, and that led to a civil war. Short of a civil war, what can we do legally? What should the Democrats, forces of democracy that aren't in a major party, average citizens do if this decision is as bad as you say, is turning our republic over to corporate forces? What should we do?
Well, let me first say, it is intended, in my view, it is intended to be the coup de grace to democracy. In other words, the shot that finishes off the victim. Because once you unleash this unlimited amount of corporate money in the hands of folks who perpetrated these kinds of vicious attacks on legitimate, honest politicians, you are really handing, you're destroying our democracy. And as Fred Wertheimer pointed out in his testimony to Congress, these corporations don't have to attack every politician. They don't have to spend the $100 million to destroy your reputation. Just knowing that they have been given the right to do this, and that they have that they're shameless enough, and they can do it all under the corporate veil, multiple corporate veils. The threat of their doing this means that when the lobbyists from Exxon, the lobbyists from the tobacco company, the lobbyists from whatever company Goldman Sachs comes into the your congressional office and said, hey, Bob, we'd like a little help on this bill. We really don't want our CEO's salary to be limited because that will deprive us.
Well, that would just be wrong.
And we'd really appreciate your help on killing this bill.
Well, I know, but isn't there the right for a robber baron to be a robber baron? I mean, isn't this in many ways a throwback to that Gilded Age where
absolutely
corporations ruled the democracy, where we had a plutocracy and it was open and honest? Well, not honest in the strictest sense, but everyone knew that a few people and the rich ran the government.
It's like going right back to the days of Mark Hanna, who said there are three things important in politics. Money, and I can't remember the third one.
All right.
And that, Bob, was corporate money he was talking about. He went around tapping the corporate treasuries, and that's what scandalized the process. That's what led to Teddy Roosevelt saying, we'll put a stop to that, and saying we have to break up the trusts, we have to prohibit the use of corporate participation in politics. Constitutions changed, and the laws changed, and when people talked about Elena Kagan as Solicitor General talked to the Supreme Court about turning back 100 years of history. That's what she's talking about. This Citizens United repeals Teddy Roosevelt.
Now let's think about this. We're in a situation. What can people do? I mean, those. If I've elected somebody and he's honest and he's in the legislative branch, I mean, in some ways, I'm wondering, don't the Democrats own the Senate? Don't they own the House? Wasn't this a last desperate effort by five Republican justices that by one vote overturned precedent and are out to destroy democracy? Are you telling me the Obama movement and the Democrats and Republicans can't do anything? What if they grew a spine? What could they do, Cliff?
Well, the first thing they can do is what President Obama did in the State of the Union address. And he stood up there in the podium, and he exercised the power of the bully pulpit. And he lectured the Supreme Court, including Chief Justice Roberts and Justice Alito, on the error of their ways.
But aren't they the supreme law of the land?
No, they are not. The Constitution does not establish the Supreme Court as the ultimate and absolute interpreter of the Constitution. We have what's known as a written Constitution, which says what it says. It's in writing, and the public can read it. And furthermore, the President, the Congress, the governors of the states, the legislatures of the states, all the other courts are sworn to uphold the Constitution of the United States in accordance with what it says, not what five justices happen to say, particularly when they are deviating from what it says in a gross manner. And that's what has happened here. And go back in time, Bob. The last time, well, Bush v. Gore was another example of a usurpation of power.
Another 5-4 decision?
And a usurpation of power by the court. The court does not have the power to decide state elections. The court does not have the power to decide controversies over the Electoral College vote. It's a congressional matter. That was an error. But besides that, the only precedent that I can cite for Citizens United is Dred Scott. What did Abraham Lincoln do? Abraham Lincoln said the court only has the power to decide cases. That is its jurisdiction. It does not have the power to legislate. It does not have the power to amend the Constitution. So what it said in Dred Scott is only, it only decides the facts in Dred Scott, and then it is a precedent. It may be cited as precedent for future cases that come before the court. And then he said, well, what is the value of this precedent? And he said, the value of the precedent is whether it's based on facts and whether it makes sense. And then he analyzed the facts and whether it made sense, and he says it's not based on the facts. It's fiction. And furthermore, it makes no sense as precedent. So it is not entitled to respect. And he said, I will do everything in my power to get that case overruled. So this President Obama should continue to exercise his responsibility as the chief executive officer of our nation to controvert Citizens United as a precedent. He should be instructing the Justice Department to fight it at every turn. And every state attorney general should be giving that advice to his government. And the Congress should be acting to counteract this decision. It should not be respected. It should be challenged at every turn.
So there are three branches of government. Everybody has the right to uphold the Constitution and the ability to interpret it. But unfortunately, it seems like, I don't want to be too harsh here, but Democrats recently have rolled over numerous times. Most recently, they've sold out women's right to reproductive health with the federal health care bill.
Torture?
Torture, all kinds of things. I mean, they're pretty unreliable for as far as doing things on behalf of the citizens. So it seems to me that, we also need to look at solutions that individuals and groups of individuals can take. Individuals banding together and forming cooperative corporations. And maybe cooperative corporations could have some of the same standing that these regular corporations could have. And create some sort of autonomous group of people.
All right. That looks like the last comment there, other than I'll go quickly to my guest, Cliff Arnebeck, local attorney taking on the mighty corporations. Cliff, last thought live.
Bob Connie's absolutely right. We need a movement, human rights movement, to assert the right of humanity to exercise control over its government, and we need to defeat this by a popular uprising and speaking out and taking action. Yes,
as they just did in Kyrgyzstan. Every time an oppressive regime rises up over the people, you can always expect that the people shall answer. Connie,
this has been Fight Back with Bob Fetrakis on WCRS 102.1, 98.3.
Peace.